Hey, what up, Long Beach? Happy New Year. Welcome back to your home for everything local sports and our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's Mike Artabasia.
I feel like I haven't seen you in a little bit, buddy. How you doing?
I am doing well. I jet-setted on my holiday break. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You got to soak up the sun here in Southern California, and you also got to go to the snow. That's just Cali, baby.
We did the
little bit of everything.
We did the beach to the snow thing. We absolutely did. We are in the downtown Long Beach offices of the Long Beach Post. We're here every week. You've got all kinds of great 562 content at lbpost.com. With the sponsor of this and everything else we're doing, you can listen to this show. You can check out The Show, a weekly 5-minute video rundown of everything going on in Long Beach sports. You can also check out our weekly high school and college columns that'll catch you up on everything. It's one-stop shopping from the 562.org and lbpost.com.
The only reason we're able to do that at both websites is because of you. Both websites are community supported, so right now, if you're not getting involved, do that. Smash that subscribe button at the top and the bottom of the websites and get involved. Just a couple of dollars from everybody. Make sure Long Beach gets the coverage it deserves.
If you're like me, January, maybe February, but definitely January is about getting back in shape.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's fair.
You doing it? You know, you're in the same shape you were when I met you 16 years ago, you son of a bleep.
One of my favorite memes was gym owners on the second, and it's just a picture of a guy on the ground.
Right.
Working overtime this month.
But one of my other resolutions is to eat out more. If you've been paying attention to everything going on 2nd Street, you know that our local businesses need our support.
True.
One of those businesses, a business that has supported everyone in Long Beach, including us for the last 10 plus years, is Naples Rib Company. Got an appointment already to take my family down there in January. Make sure I go see all my old buddies over there. Have the best barbecue in town at Naples Rib Company. And tell them Mike and JJ sing it.
We're bringing it back with clear vision for 2020. It's the O of the Week segment that we do here each and every week at What Up Long Beach. If you haven't done it already, just go to What Up Long Beach, anywhere you find your podcast, and subscribe so this thing comes at you without you having to search for it, because we're going to be updating you on everything Long Beach sports all year long. So we got our questions, athletes, lists, game players, quotes, O the Week. We start with a question of the week, and obviously it's the one you and I have been getting for the last few days. How was your holiday break?
It was great, man. One thing you and I have done the last 2 years is to actually take a break. And there can be more stress about that than you want there to be. I took a full 2 weeks off of covering stuff in person. Can't really unplug. Can't really stop following what's happening. But I didn't respond to any emails. I didn't cover anything in person for 2 weeks. And it was great. It just rebuilding all those connections with your friends, especially your friends. I do.
Mm-hmm.
We found ways to see our families, but my friends, especially, I don't get to see as much. My mom came and stayed with us for 2 weeks, so got to see a lot of her. It was just great. And, we've had a lot of very smart coaches tell us over the years that you got to make time for your family and
no doubt
put that stuff first. I'm really happy the last 2 years we've been able to do that, even though coming back this week was a little bit like trying to drink out of a fire hose.
Oh yeah, a little bit. We were also talking before the show about how much, you know, we're working for the city. We're concerned about this, the future of what we're doing and just the future of Long Beach sports always. So it was kind of nice to get back this week and like not worry and just work.
Yes.
The hour and a half doing a basketball game, you're like, ah, now I'm just doing the thing.
There's always, anytime we even try and take like 2 hours off, there's always something that's kind of calling your name. It was the Poly girls basketball team for me. I'm seeing they beat Mater Dei. They beat Etiwanda. They beat La Jolla Country Day. They're beating all these nationally ranked teams. And like they played a game in Long Beach on Saturday against Corona Centennial, another state top 10 team, and beat them by like 16. And it was the last day of my mandated vacation. And you know, Char, my wife is just like, go cover the game, like whatever. And I was like, no. It's important to me that, like I said to you and the kids, like I'm taking this time. I'm going to take the time and I'll go cover the bat. But, you know, you got a team that goes up to number 6 in the country. And I know that if we're not covering them, nobody's covering them.
Right.
So, you know, you fire off a couple tweets about them. But
absolutely,
it is good to be back in a gym and on the field and actually spotlighting these Long Beach kids that we love covering.
It's good to be back in Long Beach, man. I was in three states in about 13 days. Went to go see my brother Patrick graduate from Kentucky. Go Cats.
Congrats,
amazing.
Pat.
He graduated in Rupp Arena.
That's
the
cool.
Largest college basketball arena of all time. He graduated. And he was like, yeah, it was a December graduation. It wasn't really a big deal. They had indoor fireworks. Kids spoiled.
He had indoor fireworks?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
He was like, yeah, it's December. No biggie.
You remember when we snuck, we got Vic Seglis to sneak Tucker Savoy, our friend, into Rupp Arena? He was just like there with his dad.
It's pretty amazing.
It was a good time.
Yeah, that was a really cool experience. Go back with the fam for Christmas in the Washington, D.C. area up in Virginia. And then we got to go to Texas for my cousin Josh's wedding, which was awesome because we saw everyone, dude. Cousins I hadn't seen in like 20 years. That was really cool. One of my favorite parts of the break, though, was going back and putting together the show that we do here at Long Beach Post every week. And because we did best of 2019, we did best of the decade, right. We did what we were looking forward to in 2020. So right now my computer is full of memories.
Well, and I was writing all that stuff week by week for the Post as well. And so you and I were having this like funny experience of like taking these trips down. I mean, like some of our best memories of our life, like looking at pictures and video from like London. And then, but we were like on opposite sides of the country, just texting each other like, I love you, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Happy New Year.
Exactly. Telling jokes that we dropped in like 2011. Remember that reference we used every time this one kid did something? Yeah, those were good times, man. We're going to have some more good times this year covering Long Beach sports because these kids are amazing and they were still balling over the holiday break. We got four basketball players leading our Athletes of the Week this week.
Yeah, it's been a basketball season. Not that the soccer teams aren't coming along, but to be honest with you, looking at these girls and boys basketball teams, that feels like what the story of the winner is going to be at the moment. Our four athletes of the week, all hoopers. We've got Lorenzo Marsh from St. Anthony, our only boys hooper. He had a crazy game against Harvard Westlake. This was the other game I really wish that I was at. They're down by three with time running out to Harvard Westlake, top 10 team in the state. Marsh, Showtime Zoe. Drops a three to send it to overtime. Then they're down by two at the end of overtime, and he drops a game-winning three in OT to win it. They improved to 18-1. Max Preps has them number 16 in the nation in the computer rankings. And
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
So shout-out to them. That was huge.
They're playing
obviously an easy choice.
They're playing Sarah League game at home Friday night, if you want to go check out those Saints.
For the first time since they're in this in the Del Rey with Bishop Montgomery, they go into this year as the clear-cut league favorites, and they are opening play this week. We always tend to get caught up in more league stuff because we double-dip every game.
Right.
Every game is two teams that we cover, whereas we don't cover Sarah, we don't cover Bishop Montgomery. But we got to make sure we find some time to go see that St. Anthony boys basketball team just because there's
no doubt.
Much fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen them, we do have a highlight video from when they took on Pauly at the Bosco Classic Tournament.
Yeah, I got a couple highlights out of that. Out of that tournament, you know what I mean? It was nice to get to see them four games in 4 days.
Yeah, that was a great event. Shout out Burrell.
All right, our other three athletes of the week, all girls basketball players, because that is even more than just basketball generally. I mean, on the boys' side, you've got St. Anthony as the top team. You've got Peyton Watson and Pauly are sort of the really intriguing stories. But on the girls' side, it's just the teams. We have four more league teams ranked, five in the city if you count with St. Anthony ranked. And then Pauly and Wilson are both number one. Pauly's the number one team ranked in Division I right now. Wilson is the number one team, and I want to say 3AA.
Yep.
And then Milliken is the number three team in 2AA. The Jackrabbits, our athlete of the week, is Casey Scott, who only scored, I believe, 4 points in their win over national number one La Jolla Country Day, who came into the game undefeated. Casey Scott guarded their best player. Locked her down. This is the kind of player that Long Beach State should be taking a look at.
Word.
Locked down the Oregon commit, one of the top three players in the senior class. She locked her down, held her to 15 points below her season average. Pauly wins that game 45-39 to really show off exactly how good they are at 11-2.
You're going over to Pauly to do a feature on this team, right?
Yes.
You're going to talk to Coach Carl Bugs. I want you to ask him all defense questions. I need to know how he's able to turn these teams into defensive juggernauts so quickly.
I'll give you a couple pieces of insight on this team because I've actually kind of pre-asked him this question a little bit. This team, from his perspective, first of all, physically, they don't have a great post defender. They have a really good post player who's going to Cal State Fullerton, Ashley Lewis, and she's good offensively. But what they just have is a lot of athletic kids with really good work ethics that
are
playing defense.
So they cover more ground.
Yes. But, you know, the other answer to that question is Carl Bugs is an old-school basketball coach. Every team they play, those kids get, and I've seen them, they're very detailed, they get a scout on who they're playing, what hand you're trying to force them to, where you need to close out to, where you don't need to close out to.
That's film study.
It's film study, and it's coaches who care, and it's kids that are really embracing that aspect of the game and obviously using it to success because they've held some teams to crazy. I mean, 39 points for the number one team in the country is nuts. They held, I believe, at Oneida, they held to 29 points in a win earlier this year as well.
Do they write the kid's name on the top corner of the paper? If it gets lost and gets returned, you know whose fault it is.
Nice. I like that. They're not the only team balling in town. As we mentioned, the Wilson girls basketball team, number one in their division as well, and off to a very nice 11-4 start. Wilson, led by Ashley Hawkins, she's been our Athlete of the Week a couple of times, but Arielle Hines had some big games in the Larry Doyle Tournament of Champions that they won. She earned all tournament honors there. She's averaging 10 points and 6 boards a game. She's sort of their big girl, so Arielle, our Athlete of the Week. And our last one, Leslie Garcia, who you would not see and think this is an intimidating girls basketball player.
Truth.
She is tiny, but man, can she shoot the ball. She scored 27 points in a win over Brentwood last week. Milliken is undefeated at 13-0 and has a very good chance to still be undefeated when they play Poly next Friday.
Milliken's got that small but mighty vibe going on right now. I just wrote a story about Azalea Salazar, their captain for their girls soccer team, also a small but mighty.
Yes. So speaking of...
Perfect to be small but mighty at Milliken also. For sure. Just grow them a little smaller over there, Mike.
That was the famous Kirk Diego line.
Famous Kirk Diego line. Right before they beat Poly.
Speaking of Milliken soccer, our game of the week is the Moore League Clasico.
And no
I couldn't
doubt.
Be more excited. The Milliken boys soccer team looking right now like the league championship favorites, hosting Cabrillo at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Friday, is it at 7 p.m.?
I believe so.
Milliken unbeaten so far this year at 14-0-3. Definitely, I mean, and look, I'll be honest. I think I said it on the podcast. I thought Milliken was like a third place team this year.
Yeah, I kind of felt that
way
too.
I didn't see Milliken, and I didn't see Poly having the season that they're having either. I think I've only lost one game or something.
Yep, I'm going to go see Poly at Cabrillo this afternoon. Excited to see
that. That'll tell you a lot.
A lot, because I'm not really sure about this Cabrillo team. Obviously, we've talked about it before. Arnold Giron, their superstar from last year, is playing with LAFC Academy right now, so he's not on the squad. So they've got a big piece of offense to replace. That's always very difficult, no matter what level you're talking about. So it'll be interesting to see that. But yeah, this Clasico has given us so many moments that really it's like soccer rivalry checkbox, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you have controversy? Yes, check. Do you have league champions? Yes, check. Do you have some of the best players you've covered in the city are in this game every year? Yes, check. Like, all of the great goals we've seen, the stuff that I downloaded for the show when we're going to talk about this. You got to check that out because we're talking about some of the other big games we've got this week. But some of the goals in those games are some of the best goals we've ever gotten on film.
Well, I would also add, like, do you have sort of the historic towering figure, and what more can you say about a rivalry where Rod Petkovic founded the Milliken boys soccer team, is the only coach they've ever had, and Pat Noyes is the first and only boys soccer coach that Cabrillo's ever had. So literally this rivalry, it's been these two guys as head coaches, and we only get it two more times because Coach Peck is retiring after this year, and I think that's part of what makes it special as well.
Yeah, one of the best quotes I've ever heard, I believe it was Peter King, talking about when Bill Belichick was talking to Peyton Manning and he turned to somebody and said, that's what it looks like when two people are lying to each other.
Yeah.
I feel that way every time I see Noyes and Peck talk because they're good guys.
They have a lot of respect for each other.
Yeah, a lot of respect for each other, but they're not ever telling each
other
the whole truth.
No, 100%.
Looking forward to that one on Friday. Like I said, the full schedule is packed. Getting back into Long Beach in the biggest way this week. So check out the show as we run down other things you should be looking out for. We're moving on to our Players of the Week, and I just kind of wanted to shout out a type of player this week, and not any one in particular. I have a few examples, but this is the season of the grinders. The winter season, that's the dog days of winter.
You're playing three or four games a week.
They're all hotly contested because you know the guys or girls on the other team. So everybody's up for every game. That's exhausting. Mentally, physically, the whole thing. So it's really the season of the grinders. Who can find a way to win the sloppy games? Who can turn a game that might not be going your way, with just pure effort? I've seen a few of them, obviously, over the years, but I also saw a few this week. Like Drew Cobb at Long Beach State. He's not playing right now, and defensively, you see it. Because he's just a grinder, dude. Dallas Cooper, headband, football player, Wilson basketball. just a grinder, grinded them to victory past Jordan earlier this week. You can check out that highlight video right now at the562.org. You covered Wilson Pauley girls soccer, where grinders have reigned supreme in that matchup. Like Emma Harper?
Yeah.
Emma Harper's not filling the stat box for Wilson girls soccer, dude, but she does the dirty work, the intangibles, to make sure that her team is headed in the right direction at all times.
Well, and they beat Pauley 3-2 yesterday without her. She's coming back from an injury and still wasn't there, which is why when they go up 3-0 on Pauley and they're missing, you know, one of, if not their best player, you know, you're definitely looking at Dalton Kaufman, and he was he had the Santa Claus jolly smile and laugh going. You know what I mean? he was pretty fired up for sure. But I would also throw out there, just because I thought this was unbelievable, Wilson's goalie yesterday was a freshman making her first start because their regular starter was sick, and she had like four. If you watch the highlight video I put up, I don't have the best footage I've ever gotten of goals, but I have really good footage of her saves. She had four saves that were like, you're a freshman? Like, you've never played a varsity game before? I know they have some top-level freshmen who are going to be really elite kids over there this year.
Yeah.
And she's one of them. But that was like, I was shocked by that. You want to talk about a grinder, you come in as a ninth grader and impress in that way.
Yeah, Olivia Herrera was one of the first names that Kaufman told me when I was doing the season preview. And usually
and
you don't
she
get...
she hasn't played yet.
Yeah, right. Usually you don't get the backup, never played varsity before goalie right. into the season preview. But Kaufman made sure because he knew that she was going to get in there and make a difference, and sure enough, she did. Boy, that game was entertaining. Holy cow. It was like a tennis match, dude.
It was a weird game, JJ.
22 shots
yeah.
for the losing team? What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was wild. Yeah, yeah. Pauley outshot Wilson 22-13.
Is it possible
in a 3-2 loss.
That for the first time ever, the pure speed and pace of that Wilson team kind of like caught Pauley off guard a little bit? Because those first two goals didn't look like Wilson against Pauley goals. It looked like Pauley against Wilson goals.
I would say that, and I this is sort of what Dalton said, but this is my observation, was I would not say speed, but I would say that Wilson was, they were certainly much technically better than Pauley
mm-hmm.
last night. And because of the field that showed, and then I just think they had a lot more energy. They were just much more... They were ready, you know, like
grinders, baby. Sometimes it's who wants it more.
You just almost felt well, and then Pauley grinded their way back into it.
There you
know,
go.
Physically playing their kind of soccer, but it was really interesting because you almost felt like Pauley was playing a game, the game that it actually was. It was like, oh, it's two teams fighting for second place, so that one team has the best chance of challenging Milliken in the second round, right? Whereas Wilson was like, this is Wilson Pauley. Like, this is the rivalry game. We're here. You know what I mean? And so it was just, for the first 20 minutes of the game, you could see, though, a real difference in that energy. And Wilson rode that to a, you know, 2-0 lead, ended up going up 3-0 and winning 3-2.
Do you have an all-time favorite grinder? An all-time favorite? Nobody really remembers that person, but gosh, every time we went out and saw them, they were just working so hard. Because I can think of a bunch in the pros, but...
That's not really my type of athlete, as you know.
Ah, man, I love those ones.
I don't dislike them. I just think that there's more of those kids to me. So the kids that stand out more to me are, wow, I've never seen someone jump that high. Or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? In terms of like pure work rate, you do yours and then let me think. I'll give you one.
Dom Ricks, bro.
Oh, that's a good one.
2007 Long Beach State men's basketball. Dominic Ricks did everything anyone else wasn't willing to do, and he did it twice.
Yeah. I would say I'll go with Salamo Fiso.
Ooh, nice.
Played inside linebacker at Pauley, went to Arizona State. Lamo was like personality. I would say like personality-wise, he was a grinder. He was, you know what I mean? Very, very good work ethic.
There were some big personalities on that team, too.
But he was just a quiet dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he was one, but it was just one of those guys where you and I would cover a Pauley game together and you just realize at some point, like, did this kid make six tackles in a row? You know what I mean? Like,
all right. We move on to our quote of the week. Speaking of Long Beach State basketball, they're starting, both the men's and women's, starting Big West Conference play this week. Actually, the men are taking on CSUN tonight. And that's a winnable game for them. So we can see if they can once again start the season, their conference season, on a high note. Because goodness gracious, the non-conference season was a bunch of low notes. And you only have to ask Dan Munson to explain it, because he was more than willing to talk about how his team was disappointed and humbled by the way that they played in the non-conference. But when they got back from their trip from Costa Rica, he said that they were giddy, quote-unquote giddy, about how good they thought this team could be, and it has not gone that way. We got a chance to sit down with him in the press conference after that game against Cal State Los Angeles on Saturday, a win for Long Beach State, but not exactly dominant against a D2 opponent. And Munson was candid. He was very candid. I got to give him that. And I asked him this question. Would the Long Beach State men's basketball team that beat Cal State LA tonight beat the Long Beach State basketball team that beat San Diego?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because I think right now we got more – today we had more roles defined, and I think defensively we scored you know, 20 points off of their turnovers, okay, 34 points in the paint, 19 second-half points. We got points from other areas today, you know. At San Diego, a lot of that in that game was their turnovers and their newness as much as anything. Today, you know, we dictated this game, and, you know, I mean, it's a great question, and it's one that's hypothetical, so I don't deal with those much. I know this. I've been telling them the last 2 weeks of last year that we weren't as good as we were those first couple weeks against UCLA and San Diego, and give me that team back. I want that same team that didn't have agendas, that have that emotion that they had in those couple weeks to start the season. And I think we lost some of that, but I think over this break we gained it back. And so I think it'd be a great game. But I think right now what I'm focusing on is we're in that same ballpark again, and now we can go, if we just go forward from there, we're gonna be good.
We move on to our final O of the week, and this is the list of the week. And I just thought of this because it's a cool idea, and we talk about it a lot, actually kind of changing or fixing rules for sports. Let's fix professional overtime after we had to watch a playoff football game in which one of the best quarterbacks of all time didn't actually get to touch the ball.
Yeah.
How do you fix NFL overtime, or do you fix it?
College overtime.
That's what I'm thinking. More scoring, but don't take the stats. No stats in overtime, because that would absolutely blow everything up.
Right.
Fantasy and record books. Right.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, my suspicion is the only reason that they haven't done that is because of how much it screws with the, you know, over-under and how much it screws with the gambling lines.
Sure. So it would finish as a draw. You can bet for a draw in Vegas now.
Yeah. So removing the real considerations of why the NFL actually does stuff like gambling, I would fix it just by doing the college overtime. And I'll say this.
Make them go for two on the first possession?
No, I don't think, because look, I remember watching, and you know, I don't really like college football almost at all. I remember watching that Eli Manning like five college overtime. I happened to be flipping through, and I think it was the first overtime. And if it had been like a Canadian Football League overtime, I don't care about Canadian Football League. It's about as the same for me as NCAA football. I wouldn't have stopped for a sudden death Canadian football overtime. But I stopped for the NCAA one because I know the rules, and I was like, oh, this is going to be cool.
Yeah.
It ends up going to like five overtimes, and you're like, this is the most exciting thing I've ever watched. An NFL overtime game that goes to the end of the overtime period sucks.
It's horrible.
It gets worse as it goes on.
Inevitably, there's three punts in the last minute and a half.
Yeah, so instead of building the drama, it sucks all the drama out. And I'll say covering that Pauly Olu overtime game in the playoffs really drove that home for me. Like, you're standing there filming the coin toss, and you're like, this is the most important thing that's ever happened in human civilization.
And they're both going to get a chance to score.
Right, awesome. Exactly. And that walk-off touchdown, I mean, so
there's nothing better.
That's immediate. Just the college overtime.
There's nothing better than a walk-off score in anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You've also got a situation where that's California high school overtime. Yeah. When they brought that to college football, they were referring to it as California high school overtime.
Yeah, right.
Tell me I didn't take pride in that, baby.
I did see one suggestion that I really liked was let the offenses start on the 25 simultaneously.
That's great. Like, see what happens.
Whoever scores first.
Speaking of seeing it on TV and stopping no matter what, if I see a shootout in the NHL, I don't care who's playing, what time it is, even if it's a replay, I'm watching a shootout, dude. More shootouts in the NHL would make me a bigger NHL fan. I don't know how to do that.
But don't you love playoff overtime sudden death for hockey?
That is great. That is great. But I would more likely watch
the shootout
than if I were flipping the channel and it was like the next goal wins. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I know how long a shootout lasts.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's the Mighty Ducks fan in me that I just... Yeah. I'm waiting for that triple deke. I just need it.
For sure. Would you do anything with... I think the NBA is pretty self-explanatory. Like, it's just...
I think basketball has the best overtime.
Because it's just like... We're going to do the same thing, but it's five more on minutes. It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. And you can't do it with hockey because there's not enough scoring. You can't do it with football because there's not enough scoring.
No.
Yeah.
What we really should be doing is fixing soccer, but I don't think there's any way you can fix soccer.
No.
And I just said I love a shootout. So.
Physically, you can't do it.
Major League Baseball, though, these long, long games, I like them. They're kind of cool. It's part of the novelty of the game,
You're a baseball guy.
But you know what you need to do if you want to stop that? Just limit how many pitchers you can use. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
Somebody's noodle arm is going to give up a home run.
Yeah, I mean, I like the format. Like, extra innings and everything to me is perfect, except for, like you said, the overall length. Like, my son loves baseball. He's playing baseball again this year. Like, we'll take him to more high school games just because it's just, like, a more reasonable amount of time to be at a game, man. You know what I mean? Like... And especially with his generation, and he's not like a kid who has an issue with attention span, but like people don't sit and watch the same thing. Like for 4 hours, how many jokes did you hear about how long The Irishman was? And every time someone made a joke about everything I thought about was that's every baseball game. That's every baseball game that'll be played this year is that long.
My family sat down to watch Kentucky and Virginia Tech play in the Belk Bowl. An incredible finish, by the way. Game-winning 8-minute drive from the Cats. Obviously, my brother just graduated. Our stepsister, she went to Virginia Tech. Got a bunch of friends that went to VaTech. Yep. So, you know, all this stuff. It was so funny because I'm sitting there watching it. It's in the middle of the third quarter, and I'm like, man, these games are so long. The commercial breaks, everything. We were there for 4 hours. We were just sitting in the same spot watching the same game for 4 hours.
You could only do that over a holiday break.
Without question.
You would never do that on a Saturday during the winter season.
Our Lakers-Clippers segment is going to be a little bit different because I took my father-in-law, Ray, to his first Lakers game last night.
When was the last time you went to a Laker game?
Against the Knicks. It was actually, shout out, using Simon Greaves' season tickets.
That's right.
When we were not good.
Yeah. Yeah, Simon's not giving those tickets away anymore.
No, rightfully so. It is a scene at Staples Center. Thank goodness Anthony Davis is going to be okay, but you could hear. It's so quiet in the Staples Center. It's such a freaking museum in there. It's so quiet. When he hit the ground.
I love the Staples Center atmosphere.
You could hear him land. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Why?
It's easier for me to pay attention to the game. Like, I don't like the NBA. I generally don't like the way that, and I've actually, the NBA is actually one of the, it's basically the only sport where I've actually been to games in like 8 or 9 different arenas. I just don't like the, like, all the lights are on, they're playing music all the time. Like, the Staples Center, I feel like I'm there to see the basketball game.
That's fair, but
it has more to
not
do with
enough
the
people around you are.
And yeah, that, no, that for, bo- yeah, for that sure. Bothers well, but me. That's going to concerts. That's doing anything.
Nobody's
in Southern
watching.
California. That's going to the Hollywood Bowl. You know what I mean?
Nobody's like, standing. Like, nobody stood for, like, Caruso's baseline dunk in the first quarter. Like, I was immediately on my feet. Thank goodness we were in the last row of our section, so I didn't have to worry about blocking anybody else because they would have been very angry with me. But, like, I get up off my butt when I'm at home watching games.
Right.
Of course, if I'm at the event and Caruso goes baseline jammer,
yeah,
I'm going to get up.
I will say, I mean, I haven't been to a game in person in like 6 years, so that certainly could have worsened, you know what I mean?
I got to be honest with you, the thing that bothered me the most, and a lot of the things bothered me about being in that crowd, they play the beats, the music over the game. That's distracting.
But that's every game.
I know. That's annoying.
That's every arena.
It's distracting. But, like, when the ball starts going up and down, like if the play's open, they don't have time to play the music.
Right.
That's the best part of the game.
Yes. But... the Staples Center, to me, because of the lighting, it's at least a little bit like you're drawn to the game. The music stuff, like, I don't know, it really bugs me. Like, I wish they'd just, like, let's just watch a basketball game.
Yeah, right? It's happening right here. I want to hear
here it is.
The shoes squeak. I want to hear LeBron yell something when they're on defense or something like that. Like,
right, yeah.
I don't need to hear every single time, dude. The worst. But anyways... Ray is a Knicks fan. I'm basically trying to make him a Lakers fan. He just moved out here to the best coast.
As he should.
So that makes sense. root for, you know, two of the top five players in the league, also a good franchise, things of that nature.
The games are on at a time that you could, like, watch feasibly.
But God bless him, dude. And this is something that I would say, too. He was at, towards the end of the game, Knicks are losing pretty bad, random dunk, and he just reacted to it naturally. And he turned to me and he's like, I'm sorry. There's New York on the scoreboard. I have to root for it. And as a Dodger, former Charger, Everton, like, type of fan, I respect that, man. There's no way I could move to Liverpool and become a Liverpool fan. No freaking way.
No, I get that. But you need to just tell Ray, like, he needs to pick a West Coast team, because, first of all, you can't be sitting down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to watch Knicks games. Like, you have to have a team, number one, that's good, that'll be playing in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like,
you can have a regular season team and you can have a playoff team.
I've had that the last 6 years. Like, when the Lakers haven't been in the playoffs start. I mean, I'll do this for football when the Niners don't make it. I don't really bother for baseball if the Dodgers aren't in it. But, like, playoffs start, who am I rooting for in the AFC? Who am I rooting for in the NFC?
Yeah.
And then after those teams get eliminated, all right, who am I rooting for that's left? It's just more fun to watch sports that way for me.
Yeah.
I know that's not, like, the younger generation, it's just about players and everything else. But for me, I want to root for the team.
Yeah, younger generation's rooting for the team they bet on. Probably, because that's going to be legal real quick. Ray, shout out. Great night. Incredible experience. Tickets were awesome. And also, well-placed. Be on the back row on the aisle right next to the bathroom, the beer stand, and the hot dog stand. It was like, it was absolutely perfect. He had some great quotes, but I got a shout out. Quote of the night from Ray Pinn. They're doing the celebrities on the camera thing, you know?
Yep.
So they show Meta World Peace, formerly Ron Artest. Yep. I immediately got on my feet because he's not there all the time, but
world
it was really cool to see a world champ, Meta World Peace, absolutely. And then they showed Jack. Jack doesn't come to the games as much anymore, so that really got a reaction too. And Ray turns to me and goes, well, there's two of the craziest people in the world.
Yeah.
I want to do this real quick because we usually don't talk about pro sports as much, but we've definitely got a reason with so much Long Beach representation still in the NFL playoffs.
The divisional playoffs are this Saturday and Sunday. We have 4 Long Beach Poly alums still playing. 2 of them play for the Titans. Jayon Brown and Jarrell Casey will be visiting the Ravens, where Biggie, Iman Marshall, is a cornerback for the Ravens. Jayon and Jarrell obviously getting a little bit more playing time, so I will be rooting for them. But we're in the same position we were the year you got married, where we have Long Beach kids on both sides.
Yep.
So whoever wins, we got someone in the AFC Championship.
That's right.
Guaranteed at least 2 more weeks of Long Beach kids in the playoffs. I remember you don't remember this because you were probably still passed out, but the day after your wedding when everyone was leaving, me and Shar and Tyler and whoever else from our group was up there. There was more of us. I don't remember who.
Dunning was there.
Vweets and Dunning. We all went to a bar to watch the Jaguars-Steelers game.
Oh, that was a great game, too.
It was. And I literally had, like, Shar was in her Juju shirt. I knew we were going to do it. I had the place scouted out and everything. So it was like we went to the spot, we had a table reserved, and we watched the Jaguars-Steelers game, where it was like either Mercedes Lewis or Juju Smith-Schuster is going to the AFC Championship.
Right.
I think it was the first time Mercedes had ever been in the playoffs. He is now in the playoffs again playing with the Packers. They'll be hosting the Seahawks. So 2 of the 4 games have Long Beach kids. If the Eagles had advanced, DeSean Jackson would be playing. If the Bills had advanced, I noted this in the column that we did this week on Long Beach alums, Wilson alum designed the Bills logo, which they're still using that same logo, so that would have been cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So you wanted to do a pick'em, which as someone who has a rooting interest as a Niners fan, I'm like stressed about doing this because I don't know if I want to be overconfident or underconfident.
I feel like that's an easy one for you to pick. We'll do the lines too. The line is 7 in this game.
Or Niners at minus least 7
opened at 7. Niners at home taking on the Vikings, who shouldn't even be in this game. When is Sean Payton gonna wear being a bad clutch football coach? When are we going to let Andy Reid do his thing and make Sean Payton the new guy who can't figure out how to win close games January?
Can I do the broadcaster thing where I say, like, oh, I'm not going to pick this game because I'm covering it or something? Because did you see what I tweeted before the Vikings-Saints game?
No.
I actually watched the pregame. We were home. It was Sunday. We cleaned the house, right? Okay. So Sunday, we put the pregame on. I don't know the last time I watched an NFL pregame show. But they're doing the package on how good the Saints are and how horrible their playoff losses have been the last 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I tweeted out because I was feeling it in my heart. The Saints are about to do horrible things to the Vikings.
Yeah.
cut to, it's 3-3 with like 4 minutes left in the half. And I was like, well, I'm dumb. So I feel the same way, but it just bit me. So I'm going to take the Vikings +7.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll take the Niners.
All right.
I'll lay the points. Titans at Ravens. This is, I think, is going to be a good game. And the line opened at 10 points. I'd take the points in Titans. This one. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, we'll see. No one solved Lamar, but right. I don't see the way that Titans team is built. First of all, both these teams run the ball. The games could take the under as well, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just think that you don't win a game like that 35-10. You know, I just don't see. I just don't see it happening. It's gonna be a 21-17 game, in my opinion.
I was thinking of doing a teaser and really getting some points behind the Titans. Knocking down that situation with the Niners. On the second day, Texans at Chiefs, also a 10-point spread. But I think I'd take the Chiefs in this one.
I'm also taking the Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs. I bet the Chiefs pretty early.
So this whole thing is going to come down to the Niners game, huh?
To win the NFL championship.
I'm cheering to lose my pick'em contest.
Kind of, yeah. Seahawks at Packers. Packers laying the 4. Oof. That is a stay away if I've ever seen one, dude.
I'm going to take the Seahawks.
You can absolutely see a 19-17 football game, I don't know who would win it.
I think the Seahawks are going to win the game.
Oh, you take them on the money line?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think this has been the playoffs of the old legends being too old to get it done. Drew Brees couldn't score 21 points. Tom Brady couldn't score 28 points. Aaron Rodgers, a couple years younger than those guys, but he's still 36, 37. So, I don't know. Yeah,
I wonder what the weather's like. Might be a little bit important.
Snowing today.
Is it? I'll take the Seahawks then.
All right, so it's literally just the Niners game.
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach is being put into the books. But before we close it out, we're doing our recommendations non-sports. Mike, do you have anything that Long Beach sports fans should be doing, you know, when they're not at the 562.org or Long Beach Post?
Yeah, my recommendation is go sign up as a Patreon subscriber for the 562. But one of my resolutions this year is to get back to reading a little bit more. I used to have a goal of reading a book a week, and it was more like a book a month the last couple of years with how busy we've been. I'm reading a book right now called Trick Mirror by Gia Tolentino, which is just a collection of essays. But it's just unbelievably insightful, brilliant stuff. She's a writer for The New Yorker. Barack Obama put her book on his end-of-year reading list, and I saw a bunch of writers I like Shea Serrano, were congratulating her.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll check that out. The first essay was 30 pages about the internet and, like, the difference between existing in the real world and the internet, but it also includes a, like, really witty history of the internet from when we were in sixth grade up to now.
Is this like a Chuck Klosterman style?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I only read the one Chuck Klosterman book when we were like freshmen in college or something.
Cocoa Puffs?
It's not super first person. It's like probably a little bit more like academic writing than Chuck Klosterman.
Okay.
But it's really good. It's really smart, and I'm enjoying it. Like every page, I stop reading and think about something for a couple of seconds, which I enjoy that kind of writing.
That's exactly my recommendation. Something that makes you stop and think about things for a couple of seconds. It's called CoStar. It's a free app. All you have to do is know your birthday, where you were born, and what time you were born. I've never been one for astrology or reading your horoscopes or anything like that.
Jesus
Mostly
Christ.
Because the things that they give you is like, this is what you should do. Like, do this today. But that's not what CoStar does. CoStar just gives you something that's like, not really homework, but like a thought of the day, right? Like there was one the other day that said, play a song that reminds you of yourself. That's just like a cool thing to do. It's not telling you, oh, this next song you hear is going to be the reason why you're alive.
Right, for sure. Okay.
It's just pushing you. You know, the one today was about love. It was like, isn't love great? And you're like, yeah, love is great. Thanks, free app CoStar, for making me feel really good for 15 seconds. So if you're into that stuff, if you're not into that stuff, it's free. You got nothing to lose. CoStar, check it out. So for Mike, for JJ, for everybody at the562.org and Long Beach Post that helps us make all of this content possible.
For the Office Dog.
For the Office Dog, the podcast, the show, all the articles, all the video highlights, all of it at those websites right now. So get at us. Get involved with Long Beach Sports. We'll see you in the stands this week. Take care.
Peace.